Our sermon text for this morning comes from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 14. We'll read verses 1 through 11 this morning. And if you're able, please rise for the hearing of God's word. One Sabbath, when he went to dine at the house of the ruler of the Pharisees, they were watching him carefully. And behold, there was a man before him who had dropsy. And Jesus responded to the lawyers and the Pharisees, saying, "Is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath or not?" But they remained silent. And he took him and healed him and sent him away. And he said to them, "Which of you, having a son or an ox that has fallen into a well on the Sabbath, will not immediately pull him out?" And they could not reply to these things. Now he told a parable to those who were invited when he noticed how they chose places of honor, saying to them, "When you are invited by someone to a wedding feast, do not sit down in a place of honor, lest someone more distinguished than you be invited by him. And he who invited you both will come and say to you, 'Give your place to this person.' And then you will begin with shame to take the lowest place. But when you're invited, go and sit in the lowest place, so that when your host comes, he may say to you, 'Friend, move up higher.' Then you will be honored in the presence of all who sit at the table with you. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted." Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. Lord, your word is truth, and we pray that you would sanctify us by that truth. As we jump into the book of Luke and the accounts from Jesus' life, I pray that you would show us our sin and need for a Savior and point us to that Savior, Jesus Christ. We pray this in your holy name. Amen. You may be seated. Well, as our sermon text opens up for today, we find that it's a Sabbath day, and Jesus has been invited to eat at the house of not just a Pharisee, but one of the leaders or rulers among the Pharisees. While he was there, the Pharisees were all keeping a close watch on Jesus. More than likely, the reason they were doing this is they were attempting to catch him doing things that he should not be doing so that they could discredit him. See, it was a common practice for the Pharisees to host a Sabbath meal at their house. They would invite some interesting guests that would spark conversation or discussion or even argument and debate. They couldn't just go home from church and turn on the football game and watch the Vikings beat up on the Bills, to my dismay. They needed entertainment from other sources. And so this was one of them. These meals that they had were semi-public. And members of the larger community could sort of walk in and walk out and enjoy what was being discussed and argued about around the table. While it would have been a common thing for the Pharisees to bring in an interesting rabbi like Jesus, them watching him like a hawk was not a normal thing. They didn't invite guests so that they could catch their guests doing wrong things. Not usually. They were watching over Jesus so closely, though, because they wanted to catch him doing something wrong, and they'd even set a trap for him. And soon Jesus would find the trap that they had set. It was a trap that came in the form of a man with dropsy who ended up in the house. Now, dropsy is an old-fashioned term for the medical condition edema. And an edema is a condition characterized by excess watery fluid collecting in the body. These buildups can be generalized just in one part of the body or say, an organ, or they can be all over and affect the whole body. Certain cases of dropsy can be so bad that they're fatal, but more often than not, dropsy was just something that was extremely uncomfortable. And if you were a Jewish person, it also wasn't something that you wanted to get, because as long as you had those excess watery buildups, you were considered unclean and couldn't worship in the temple, just as if you had touched a dead body or contracted leprosy. And so here was the trap that the Pharisees had set up. If Jesus did not heal this man with dropsy, the crowds would look on Jesus as being unmerciful and uncaring. But if Jesus did heal the man with dropsy, the Pharisees could jump all over him and say that he had broken the law of Moses. So Jesus was stuck in a lose-lose situation. If he healed the man or if he chose not to heal the man, he was going to lose honor and respect with the people. But rather than backing down, rather than hiding, rather than running from this trap, Jesus met this trap head on. He responded by asking those lawyers and Pharisees who were there at the table, is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath or not? What Jesus did here was very clever. They had laid a trap where they thought there was no escape, and Jesus had taken that trap and he had flipped it over and trapped them in it. If they answered, Jesus, don't heal on the Sabbath day, they would have looked unmerciful and uncaring. And yet if they answered, Jesus, heal on the Sabbath day, they would be encouraging him to do work on the Sabbath and to violate the law of Moses. So now Jesus was free to do whatever the Pharisees said, and the Pharisees were trapped in the trap that they had laid. So they didn't respond. They just remained silent. So Jesus grabbed the man with dropsy, and he healed him, and he sent him away, and then he went on to expose the hypocrisy of the Pharisees. He said, which of you who has a son or an ox that has fallen into a well on the Sabbath day wouldn't immediately pull him out? You see, the question that Jesus posed to the Pharisees was a question really drawn straight from Scripture. If we look back to Deuteronomy 22:4, it says this, you shall not see your brother's donkey or an ox fallen down by the way and ignore it. You shall help and lift him up again. The Pharisees' teaching to not even show mercy on the Sabbath was something that they drew from their own human traditions, but what Jesus was doing in healing and teaching here was right in line with God's word. Jesus went on after healing this man, and he used this opportunity to teach that the true honor comes from humility. After noticing how people were choosing their seats and that they were choosing the places of honor and leaving the places of less honor open, he told this parable. In a first reading of the parable that Jesus tells, you might think he's just expounding on our Old Testament reading from Psalm 25 today. Do not put yourself forward in the king's presence or stand in the place of the great. For it is better to be told, come up here, than to be put lower at the presence of a noble. Humility waits for the host to assign a proper place, but arrogance and pride choose the place of honor for themselves. Remember, in those days, people reclined as they ate, and in the house of a ruler of the Pharisees, rather than sitting on the floor in mats, they probably had dining couches. The honorable places at a table like this would be the places where it was easy to follow the conversation or argument or debate, whatever it happened to be that day. The less honorable places would be the places where it was hard to hear and you had to strain to keep up. So the people at this meal, they weren't waiting to be seated by their hosts. Instead, they were taking the places that they wanted and felt like they deserved. At first glance, it would seem that Jesus is just giving these meal-goers some good practical advice by saying, if you take a place of honor, you're rolling the dice. You might get sent down to the lowest place, and then you won't be able to even hear, and you'll have to have everybody watch you descend in your shame. But this can't be the only thing that Jesus is saying. Luke went to the trouble of writing that this is a parable of Jesus, and as we know, parables never have only earthly points. They have heavenly perspective. That's the main thing of a parable, is they tell us something about the kingdom of God. There's a hint right at the end of what Luke has to say in our sermon text that points us to the heavenly meaning of this parable. Jesus said in the final verse of our sermon text, everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. See, in the parable, Jesus had said someone of higher rank might show up, and you may be brought low. In the parable, choosing a high place of honor sounded like a gamble, like a toss of the dice. But in his conclusion to this parable, Jesus used the word everyone, meaning that if you, in your pride and arrogance, chose a place of honor, you would end up being brought low. It wasn't a gamble, it was a guarantee and a promise. You see, Jesus was talking about this great reversal that affects us all. Luke records about this great reversal in his Gospels in multiple places, first coming in Luke chapter 1 in the Magnificat. He has shown strength with his arm, and he has scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. He has brought down the mighty from their thrones and exalted those of humble estate. He said it again in Luke 13:30, some who are first will be last, and some who are last will be first. Jesus said in our sermon text, everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. And with these words, Jesus is teaching that anyone who thinks they can contribute to their salvation in any way is going to hear, give your place to that person. Anyone who thinks that they can earn their salvation or perfect their salvation is going to miss out on the kingdom of God. But those who freely confess that they deserve nothing at all other than eternal punishment for their sin, those who have faith in God's mercy and in the finished work of Jesus Christ will hear the words, friend, move up higher. See, these people will enjoy the place of honor in God's presence forever. We do this every time we come to the Lord's table. We take the lowest place when we say these words. Out of the depths we cry unto you, O Lord, hear our voice. Let your ears be open to our plea for mercy. If you, O Lord, should keep track of sin, who could stand before you? We are caught in sin. The good that we want, we do not do, but we do the evil we do not want. We are broken in what we do and in what we fail to do. Though our sins are like scarlet, make them as white as snow and restore to us the joy of your salvation. When we take the lowest place in this way, it is then that we hear the promises of God given to us in Holy Scripture, that if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And those words from the mouth of Jesus, come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. In the context of today's gospel text, these words, that promise of hope, is really Jesus saying, friend, move higher. That declaration of the gospel is Jesus' call to move up higher, a call that can only be received by grace through faith. You see, Jesus has this authority to take us and to move us up higher because he himself took the lowest of all places. His perfect life without spot or blemish of sin earned him the highest place of all, but he didn't take it. Instead, Jesus took the lowest place. He took the lowest place by taking on our sin and going to the cross with it. He went to the cross, suffering everything that our sin deserved and paying the price for all of it in full. By doing all the things that Jesus did, he earned the right for us to live eternally in the presence of our God. We know this to be true because it says in Acts 17:31, the Father has given assurance to all by raising Jesus from the dead. When Jesus rose from the dead, it was as if God the Father spoke to Jesus and said, friend, move up higher. And Jesus became the first fruits of all of those who have fallen asleep. The resurrection of Jesus assures that on the last day, Jesus will raise everyone from the dead. Those who have arrogantly and pridefully taken the places of honor for themselves will hear, surrender your place and go to the lowest place instead. But those who recognize their sin, those who call out to their God for forgiveness, they will hear, friend, move up higher and take your place by my side for eternity. The Holy Spirit inspired Paul to write these words. Though Christ Jesus was in the form of God, he did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but he emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men and being found in human form. He humbled himself by being obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name above every other name, so that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of the Father. Jesus Christ, who humbled himself to the lowest depth of the cross, is now exalted to the greatest height. He is now preparing the place of honor that he has earned for each one of us at his wedding feast. When the time is right, he will come and say to his faithful people, "Friend, move up higher." And by grace, through faith, we will enter eternal life with our Lord and Savior. Heavenly Father, we thank you for today. We thank you again for this opportunity to encounter your holy word. God, we pray that you would allow us to humble ourselves, seeing our sin and confessing it for what it really is, that we might trust in the finished work of Christ for us, and that you might keep us steadfast in the faith so that one day we might hear, "Friend, move up higher and take your place by my side for eternity." God, now as we go to the Lord's Supper, I pray that we would be able to freely confess our sins before you and that we would trust that the sacrifice of Christ is enough even for us. We pray this, Lord, in your holy name. Amen.